Pastor Wood, sometimes we are more focused on the people who came by and the man who was wounded. But what about the road that God has given us to fix? The road. Building up with compassion and empathy for others. Fix the road, church. Do you know why? Because something is happening in America. Something is happening in our world. And now that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. Brother Carl, the nation is sick. Trouble is on the land. Confusion all over around. And that's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can we see the stars. Come on, somebody. And I see God working in this period of the 21st century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening. God created us to be more than just good people. Are you with me, church? Because even good people can go to hell. Come on, somebody. God created us to be more than just Christians and Jewish and Islamic and other religions, because the words are just meaningless titles anyway. However, the true child of God is designed to be the representation of the powerful God that created us. We are designed to be more than just good people. Can I get some help in here? We are called to be more than conquerors. We are taught to lay down our lives to help somebody along the way. And so the real child of God is designed not only to give the lonely, homeless person a ride down the road. We are designed to bring them, come on somebody, into our homes, into our churches. We are designed to feed them from our tables and house them under our roofs. We are designed to touch the loveless lives around us with the abundant love that God has given us. And therefore, in these hours of desperation and hopelessness, and there stands a need for us to evolve into the type of people God needs right now. And in these tedious times when financial ruins and economic hardships have robbed us of necessities of our daily lives, there stands a need for the very good people to come to the rescue to those who are hurt along the highways of the American dream. Come on, church. There stands a need for the children of God to come out of the church buildings, rescue the wounded travelers that are lying hurt along the road. There stands a need for us to become our brothers and our sisters' keepers. And in this tedious and desperate times, there stands a need for us to become more than an illusion of what God created us to be. It is a suitable time for us to become the good Samaritan that will stop and help those, come on somebody, that has been hurt along the way. In other words, fix the road. Fix the road. Fix the road. The church is certainly influenced, for better or worse, by the culture environment of the day. We live in a society that has normalized political hostility, racial tension, domestic violence, gender confusion, abortion, divorce, and social slander. People today are so unempathetic that we see people in church in trouble. We see people in distress, and we know folk who are struggling, and we are so self-absorbed, so self-centered. All we care about is me, my, and mine. Can I get some help in here? See, you don't have to take my word for that. Look at what we have in our hand, in our bags, and in our pockets. An iPhone, an iPad, Facebook, YouTube, preceded by MySpace. We've been programmed to think and to feel honestly about ourselves, and mostly about ourselves, because of all of us, we're familiar with the selfie, remember? The selfie, you love yourself so much, I can't get no help in here, that you take 10 or 15 pictures of yourself until you get the one that you think looks most like a movie star you want to be. Can I get some help in here? And then when you take that picture, you retain it, you crop it, you filter it, we feather it, we smooth it over, and we hang an app in our phone where we can get folk out of the picture if we don't want them in there. Can I get some help in here? Somebody ought to help me preach this morning. We can't even go to a restaurant to eat without taking a picture, a a short video of the food we're eating. Because we can't control ourselves when it comes to gadgets. Some of you here looking at your phone right now trying to make me think you're taking notes. You can't fool me. You are not taking notes. You texting and checking your emails. Your TikTok. Come on, somebody. And Facebook. Woo! Can I just take my time? And church, this morning, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, I want to take this message to restrain and restore and reboot us to our original, as someone say, default. A position of empathy and sympathy and compassion and love designed, imprinted on each of our souls. Because we were made in the image and the likeness of God. And contrary to the devaluation and deconstruction and dismissal of absolute truth, amen, somebody. Let me say it aloud here. Yes, we are our brothers and our sisters' keeper. Early in chapter 10, Jesus characterized his disciples, let me get on with this, as little children to whom God had revealed great truths. And he contrasted them with the wise and understanding from whom God had hid these truths. So the parable of the certain Samaritan dramatizes the contrast of a wise lawyer and two wise, intelligent men who passed, y'all got that, intelligent men who passed by on the other side. And their contrast with a lowly Samaritan who stops to render aid. And if that man who had fallen among thieves, who was a Jew, had known it was a Samaritan, come on somebody, who was helping him, he wouldn't even allow him to put his hands on him. Come on, y'all. Wonder if somebody I know would want us to reach down and help him. Come on, somebody. If he had known it was a Samaritan, would he have wanted help? And brothers and sisters, the mystery of parables is that they give us a glimpse of the divine through the lens of the ordinary. Something odd happens in the story, Brother Carl, that jolts the expectations of the listeners and points to something that God that is transforming. The story of a certain Samaritan is found here in the Gospel of Luke. Well, Reverend Jones, this young lawyer, this man skilled and trained in the Torah, stands up and tempt and try to test Jesus. He ought to know better than that. He wants to ask Jesus a question. Not because he wants information, but he wants to test Jesus to get an advantage. Y'all don't see where I'm coming from? And so the academic method of asking questions and receiving a response was common in that day. And asking questions, receiving a response was what this lawyer did all day long. He had been in competition, and I'm sure with other lawyers of his own stripe, competing about how much they knew. And so he hears that there's a new rabbi in town. And he wants to test Jesus' knowledge. So he comes up to Jesus. Listen to that. He comes to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, rather sarcastically, teacher. Are you with me, church? Master, what must I do to inherit life? Now, the question is wrong altogether. Not because he wants to tempt Jesus, which is really what he wants to do. But there's a word in the question, there's a verb in the question, what makes it wrong from the beginning. Because he asked, what must I do? Are you with me? That's the wrong question. Because there's nothing you and I can do to inherit eternal life. God does not owe us eternal life. Come on, somebody. Because what can you do that will impress God? You think going to church impress God? You think singing in the praise and worship impresses God? Can I get real in here? You think reading the Bible and teaching Sunday school impresses God? You think being a nice person impresses God? You think casting out demons and healing the sick and serving and ushering and evangelizing impresses God? No, my brothers and sisters. God is impressed by a humble spirit. He's impressed by folk who submit to him and to the leaders he appoints. And God is impressed by people who repent. People who cry and say, God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I fail miserably. I've fallen so many times. I'm embarrassed to even come in your presence. That's what God impresses God. He is the only one. He is the subject and the verb of Christianity. He is the center of everything we do and say. He is the first and the last, the living and was dead. And behold, he lives now forevermore. He is the only one who deserves glory. He is the only one who deserves honor. He's the only one who deserves praise. So the next time you come to church, leave your ego there. Leave your eye. Leave yourself in the car. Leave your degree on the shelf. Leave yourself in Partner's home. Because the only one that is worthy of all the praise is God himself. What must I do to inherit life? And when you read it, Jesus is rather sharp, rather cutting and biting in his response. Because Jesus reads this lawyer's heart and he knows what he's trying to trip him up with, as if that's all possible. Jesus probably saying to himself, Pastor Wood, now I wrote the law. Not only did I write the law, come on somebody, I am the law. Whoa! Hallelujah, somebody. I am the law. And you trying to test me on the law? And Jesus said, all right, I'm going to play this game with you. I'm almost through church. You a lawyer. You read the Torah from cover to cover. You know very well. So what did you read in the law? The lawyer has to come with the answer. He says, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and your strength. Any Orthodox Jew would know that that's the character of empathy. The character of empathy, brothers and sisters, is to love God with all your heart. Yes, we ought to love God with all of our heart. And all your heart means to love God without pretense. To love God genuinely. Not because of what he does, but because of who he is. You just asked God for grace, and he gave you a new car. You asked God for mercy, and he gave you a promotion on your job. You asked God to be good to you, and he gave you a brand new house. Am I right about it? There's some stuff God gave you that you didn't even ask for, and neither did you deserve. Because what I deserve is hell. What I deserve is eternal damnation. What I deserve is death. But he didn't give me what I deserve. God gave me mercy and substituted his only begotten son in my place. And God gave me that I don't deserve. That is his grace, a brand new life and salvation from my sins and eternal life. And God gave me a new determination. Now listen, you have some stuff right now that you know you don't deserve. God's been good to you. He showered some blessings on you. You asked for one thing and he gave you 12. See, the Bible says, make a joyful noise. Church, you ought to be loud up in here. Filled with praise and shouts to the Lord. You ought to leave church tired. Why? Because of the movement and the enthusiasm and the excitement, it's emotion, it's clapping, it's getting out of your comfort zone. The voice of rejoicing in the tent. And I know some of y'all shake your head and say, well, it doesn't take all of that. But brother and sister, please. Please. Give me a break. Hallelujah. You sitting here in an air-conditioned building. Yes, on carpet. Somebody, you got a mouth to talk, ears to hear, and a heart to love, and you tell me it don't take all of that when you could have been dead sleeping in your grave, but God made a way for you. Please, you may be sitting almost through. And we are right now facing a legislature, Pastor, that we do not matter. We're just a number. Come on, somebody. And you want to sit up here and say it don't take all that? Did you see what happened this week? When some things were reversed. And the folk didn't even know they had gotten reversed. They lied and turned around and didn't realize they had told the truth. And since I'm in the presence of Jesus, I'm not going to let them or anybody determine how I give God praise. See, because you know what God has done for you. And somebody here, you're getting old and wiser just like I am, climbing up in your years. And you got to be able to tell these young folk, it hadn't always been like this. God helped us to fight some battles. He opened some doors for us. God made a way for us. We worked hard and still hard for our walk with God. We cried and we still cried for his presence. We prayed hard and we still praying for his favor. We need to tell the young folk, it ain't always been like this. Don't worry about cancer, our culture being cancer. We got a mouth. We know where we come from. Tell our children that it was the God of our mamas and daddies that brought us through. You tell them, listen, CNN didn't wake you up this morning. Messi didn't provide for you. Fox News didn't put food on your table. Playing the lottery did not heal you. It was nobody but Jesus. What God did before, he will do it again. Oh, yes. And if he did it before, he will do it again. Now, let's quickly go down this road and so we can be out of your way. So we reminded the brothers and sisters that the lawyer said, love him with all your heart, with all your soul. And he said, oh, I knew all this since I was a child. What new thing do you have? See, we all, young folk are always looking for something new. Am I right about it? He thinks again. And he answered, do this and you will live. Do that and you'll be all right. But the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and so who is my neighbor? And he thinks again that he has Jesus in a dilemma. And Jesus, however, was him right where he wants him, had him right where he wanted him to be. And it is there that Jesus tells a story. And everyone knows about the Samaritan. He says a man was heading down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who stripped him, beat him, and left him half dead. And this man was ruined. And as luck would have it, a priest who knows the rites of religion, get this, who knows when all the feast days are held. Come on, somebody. A priest who knows how to serve the Lord's Supper. He knows how to receive an offering for the temple. He knows all the rites of Christians. Being an Orthodox Jew, came by, saw this hurt man, and went on the other side. And then a Levite who knows all the rules. In other words, a pastor, a deacon, a director, a praise and worship member, an usher, Sunday school teacher came by and passed this man by because he was hurt. A Levite came by. And because they're so busy going to church, they fail to be the church. And sometimes you and I can get so busy being churchy that we forget to do church. We look holy on Sunday. I'm not up your street. Don't worry. I'm not. We dress up. We clap when everybody else clap. You stand when everybody else stands. But what are you doing on Monday? Who are you helping on Tuesday? Do you go out of your way on Wednesday? It's about what you do. It's about who you are. And they see this man. They reject him. And then this Samaritan, this hated Samaritan, comes and see the man. And he can tell by the way he's dressed that he's a Jew. But it doesn't bother him that he's a Jew. He's a man in need. And Martin Luther King Jr. once said, the first question the priest and Levi asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the good Samaritan reversed the question. He said, if I do not stop, woo! If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? Dr. King said, no longer can we afford the luxury of passing by on the other side. So this man climbs down from his beast, gets oil and wine, and sanitizes wounds and wine to disinfect it and pours it on the man, fix him up the best he can. He puts him on the beast and he walks and the man rises, take him into an inn and tell the folk at the front desk, take care of him. I'm on business, and when I come back, if there's anything I owe you, don't charge him. He doesn't have any money. Put it on my account. And Jesus said, so that which of these three do you think as a neighbor was a neighbor to this man? And the lawyer can't even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. He won't even let the word come out of his mouth, Pastor. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. So the completeness of empathy is that when you see somebody in their bad condition, don't reject them. Because God didn't reject you. Now let me finish with this road from character to completeness. You got to put yourself out to help folk in need. Thank you, Mission Ministry. You cannot return the favor back because you are not blessed if you invited me to your house to eat so I can invite you to your house to eat or to my house to eat. Are you with me? The blessings come when you see that homeless person. And if you don't invite them in, you don't turn a blind eye to them and pray, Lord, send someone to help them. You need to at least make sure you meet their needs. Because before Jesus can heal, before Jesus can save, he served. And remember the folk who were famished? Because they learned to listen to Jesus teach all day long. And they followed Jesus. And he had compassion on them. And the disciples were wondering where we're going to get some bread to feed them. And one of the disciples, Lord, we just got a little bit of money and a treasure. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you feed them. And then they said, all we have is 2 fish and 5 loaves. He said, bring them to me. And he lifts it up to heaven and multiplies it by dividing and add by subtracting and give it to the disciples to feed the multitude. But the cost of empathy is the Samaritan man had to go out of his way, use his Visa card, walk while he ride the man on the beast, bring him and take him care of him, everything he needs. And when I come back, if there's any overcharge, don't charge him, I'll take care of it. So the last thing I want to say, saints, it's time to fix the road. It's time to fix the road. We can no longer look upon our brother in the day that he became a stranger to be captured and deported and put into slavery. Are you with me? You just stood there while ICE agents came in, snatched them up, took them off the streets, out of the classrooms, out of the office buildings, out of the churches, off the baseball field, in the mask, hidden behind glasses, hoodies, and modern day sheets. Righteous God, you stood there like an eagle who has set their nest high in the stars and with your phone in your hand taking a video, but you couldn't fight for them and try to stop them, but you just stood by and watched them silently as they were hauled off as a stranger. And neither can we be happy and rejoice when the National Guard moved in on the city and ICE agents stormed the schools, busted out car windows, snatched women out of their cars, throwing women down, come on y'all, punching them and hitting them with no respect to us as a woman, grabbed their tents, threw them in garbage trucks because of the color of their skin. You stood by and did nothing, and you go home, get out of here, go back to where you come from. Your indignation, your jealousy, your spitefulness, your hatred showed forth, and yet you say you have nothing but love for me. And neither should I have stood in the crossway to cut off those that escaped and turned over to ICE agents because they thought they were doing the right thing. But they failed to understand, saints, that there was a relationship that transcends differences, that transcended politics, that transcends Nazism, any prideful authoritarian decision, any mentally senile and stupid assault, any political party. There was a relationship, a commandment that demanded all the laws, all the prophets, all the policies, all the constitutions, all the districts, all the Republicans, all the Democrats, all the independents, it hanging. It said, thou shalt love the Lord thou God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. America, the eagle of today, has set its nest among the stars. America, the eagle, has an arrogant persona by itself. It operates and exhibits arrogance in interaction with other cultures and policies. It has a belief that this has exceptionalism above and that it's superior to other nations. Come on, somebody. That we can go over, blow up ships in somebody else's waters. That we can tell another authoritative person to kill them. What's wrong with this picture? Jesus said, you are to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and then love your neighbor. What he said, well, we can't just let our democracy be destroyed. We got to stand, church, against narcissism, arrogance, and evil that is raising its ugly head, especially against the people of color, black, brown, yellow, and red, trying to erase our history, take away our rights. Oh, yes, I'm going there. Destroy our destiny. Usurp our human rights. Strip people of their civil dignity. Rob them of education equality. Limit medical access. Detaining and deporting, taking away SNAP and destroying democracy and just human dignity. Fix the road. Fix the road. And if you didn't get that, maybe you'll get this. See, the problem is not the priest. The problem is not the Levite. The Samaritan is not good. The scripture calls him a certain Samaritan, but not a good Samaritan. Go back and read it. Because there's nobody good but our Lord. And that is what the theologian in the church calls him. What he did was good, but he was not good. What you and I may do is good, but we are not good. Because there's only one good, and that is God. So listen, the problem is not the priest, not the Levite, or the Samaritan. The problem is that they needed to fix the road. Because if you fix the road, the man won't get robbed. Are you with me now? You traveling with me now? Somebody holler, fix the road. So this is the question before you this morning. Not if I stop to help this sister, what will happen to my job? Not if I stop to help the brother, what will happen to all the hours that I used to spend in my office every day and every week? The question is not if I stop to help this family in need, what will happen to me? The question is if I do not stop to help, what will happen to them? But I stop by to tell you, New Providence, if you fix the road, you can get rid of thieves and robbers. If you fix the road. Well, how do you fix the road, Mary Hagin? I'm glad you ask. You are the light of the world. If you get on the road, you will be a light. The man won't get robbed. The thieves and the politicians are going to have to go and hide. Mass killings will come to a halt. If you fix the road, liars will stop lying and shut up their mouths because you fixed the road. If you fix the road, our teachers and students can go to school in peace. If you fix the road, immigrant brothers and sisters can go back to Walmart. If you fix the road, jobs will be restored. Finance will be healed. SNAP program will be reversed. If we fix the road, the drug dealers are going to have to file another corner because there's some lights on the road. Fix the road, church. Fix the road. Somebody holler, fix the road. So as I get ready to close, Jesus said, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me. Saints, be careful. Don't lose your compassion. Don't lose your empathy. We are called to love Jesus because one day you and I was on that same road. We were on that same side of the road, beaten and left half dead. And then some church folk passed by us. just surfing out a messy way and say, get yourself up. Help your own self. We got to go to church. But then yonder came a Galilean by the name of Jesus Christ, who sees us in our sinful condition. And not only does he not reject us, but he helps us on the way, because he said, I died for you. I died for you. And I'm going to live for you. But John, oh John, can you help me close out this message? If we're going to fix the road, he tells you, we're going to read the gospel according to St. John. He said, Jesus is the Word of God, the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, the great physician, the bread of life, the water of life, the light of the world. I'm a great redeemer. Well, John, help me close out. He's the door, and he's a shepherd. He's the resurrection, and he's the life, the way, the truth. He's the giver of the Holy Spirit. Last but not least, tell me, John, tell me what he is. He's my friend. Who sits closer than my brother? He's my doctor in the sick room. He's my lawyer in a courtroom. He's my bread when I'm hungry. My water when I'm thirsty. He's my wonderful counselor when I am confused. He's my peace in the midst of a storm. He's my joy when I'm sad. He's my Savior and my all in all. And he died. Yes, he died. Way out on a hill called Calvary. He died. And this same Jesus is right here today. Let us rise up this morning with a greater witnesses. Let us stand with stronger determination. Let us move on through these difficult days ahead and make our families, our communities, our nation what it ought to be. We have an opportunity to fix the road.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.